Good evening. We're on page 19 in lesson book. We're on lesson number 6. Tonight it's going to be Acts chapter 12. All right. Tonight's, to me, an interesting discussion, or can be an interesting discussion, because of what happens to Herod. Thick one. Anyway, he has an interesting take on this story. It's written from the perspective of an eyewitness. That's what makes it neat about what happened to Herod. Anyway, I don't know if we'll get that far tonight, but we'll get pretty far into it. As our custom has been, let us read the chapter before we begin discussion. So does anyone want to volunteer to read?
I'll read.
All right, thank you.
Chapter 12.
Yes, sir.
Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to beg certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also to bed for the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him quarter. A soldier to keep him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and to God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, he came out of the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains and the keepers before the door kept. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on his side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind up thy sandals." And so he did, and he said unto him, "Cast thy garments about thee and all the people." And he went out and followed him. And was not that people's tree which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them with his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. And when Peter was come unto himself, he said, "Now I know with surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectations of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many will give it together. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, they gave the thing to Mark and made trouble. And when she, Peter's door, she opened not the gate, but went in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad," but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his Savior." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw them, they were astonished. But he beckoned with them. But he beckoned unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declaring to them how the Lord had brought them out of prison. And he said, "Go and show these things to James and to the brethren in the park," and went unto another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers that were of the kind of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and committed the patient. He put to death, and he went down to Judea, Caesarea. He went down to Judea to Caesarea, and there abode. And Herod retired his priest with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made blessings to King Chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country when set day there, the rain and roar of Pharaoh set up on the throne and made a oration unto them. The people came and shouted, saying, it is the voice of God, not of man. The meaning is the angel of the Lord spoke him, because he gave not to God the glory, and he was eaten upon him, and up to go. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and harmless and all returned to the original when they had fulfilled their ministry to with the economy surveying.
All right, thank you for reading that. Well, that rain's coming down, isn't it? Pouring down. Page 19, question number one, thought and discussion questions, is which Herod is the one mentioned here?
Herod Agrippa the First is what I found.
Herod Agrippa the First. That seemed to be the common, looked at several sources, and even Wikipedia agreed with it, of all things, that it was Herod Agrippa the First. He is the... He was the... he was not the Herod the Great that slew the infants at Bethlehem, nor was he Herod Antipas who beheaded John, but he was Herod Agrippa. So, and there's the Syriac version, talking about the scriptures, adds here that his surname was Agrippa. I thought that was interesting. So some of the ancient writings had him as Herod Agrippa in their interpretation. Well, I guess their writing of the scripture. And then he was also the grandson of Herod the Great, the son of... and the son of Aristobulus, the prince. So that's what we know, a little bit what we know about Herod. And because of the time period and things that happened, you could point, use other scriptures to point to it. But it's pretty commonly agreed upon that this is Herod Agrippa the First. Who did Herod kill?
James
of the Sword. Whose brother was he? There you go. The brother of John Mark. Verse number three is, why did Herod have Peter taken?
He saw that when he killed James, that it pleased the Jews, so he wanted to have a little more notoriety about it.
Yeah, he wanted to be lifted up even higher, didn't he?
Yeah.
And so he had, so it pleased him. The lights work. The exit light works. That's good. A.G. Let me make sure I'm telling you right. R.I.P.P.A. And I misspelled it on my thing here. I put two G's. This is significant that Herod pleased the Jews with this taking of Peter. You know, then of course it pleased the Jews with the killing of John. This shows you who this Acts continuously points out who's one of the enemies, the religious leaders, the ones who should have been on board with who Jesus was and the teaching of Jesus and so forth. They're the ones that was against him. And further down in the story here, the scripture, we'll see that some of the reasoning behind it, more of the reasoning behind it. During the time of what annual Jewish feast did this take place?
Passover,
or the Days of Unleavened Bread. And it seemed like we're having this question a second time, but why did Herod put Peter in prison at this time? I think the answer is fishing for is because it was the time of the feast. Yeah, I believe that's what he's looking for there. Because it was the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Passover, which would have pleased the Jews even more. No, it was not.
If we remember,
which is question four.
If we remember, all the Jews came to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. That would have made this notoriety that much more.
That was one of their annual treks to Jerusalem.
Yep.
Yep, to come for the Passover. How many soldiers are four quaternions of soldiers?
Okay.
Yep.
I may have this confused, but my understanding is 16.
Right.
Four by four. In other words, and what they did is they split the night shift up in four sections, 3 hours each.
So somebody would be aware the whole night. So when you see this, how many soldiers was with Peter, it's like he should have been well covered. He should have been well guarded. Now, I think this is significant in showing the power of God, showing what God had in store for him and showing his power, that they had this many people set up to take care of Peter. Question number four is the word translated Easter here should be translated
Passover.
They shouldn't have had a period there, but Passover. If you look at most of your translations, virtually all of them have Passover. The King James Version is like one of just a few that has the word Easter there.
You know how they got that?
Tell us.
Now, mate, it's been a while since I've done any research. But King James's wife, I believe it was his wife, was named Esther, or something like that. And so what they did to please is the right word, but to elevate her, they translated it Easter to give her some notoriety.
Yep. It was like, I don't want to get into a whole translation discussion, just as many other things in the King James translation was influenced by the king, by the way it was translated, and this word is no different. Just like baptized would have never existed in that form or even in our language if it hadn't been for King James. And he was mad that they had, just an example, he was mad because they had translated immerse instead of, and he thought that they didn't believe in baptism. And so immersion was very, very upsetting to him. In other words, the truth. And so they come back and transliterated the word baptismo, put English letters to a Greek word, letter for letter. That's what transliterated is. We have a few words like that that's transliterated, but not very many. And that's how we get the word baptize or baptizo. And that's how it became part of the English scripture. And that's another word that really that should be immerse or immersion. And if you look at the first English translation, which was not the King James translation, there was one earlier, it does not have the word baptize in it. Same thing with Easter here. It was not an earlier, I believe I'm correct in this, it was not in earlier English translations, but it was in the King James, by threat of death. Interesting thing. So when people try to argue that Easter is a biblical holiday, it is not. Now, Passover is, but not Easter is celebrated in American culture. It's not a biblical thing. Yeah, I think we do. We like the commerce side of it, don't we? All the candy and everything comes along with it. Also, it's got roots in paganism. It's really some extreme paganism that's associated with it that we don't really talk that much about.
All the people that won't celebrate Easter as a religious holiday, they haven't thought about the fact that Christ did not rise on what they term Easter.
That's right.
Because Passover was 40, was it 40 days?
50 days.
50 days.
Yep. It was 50 days later.
Yeah.
It's closer to Ascension Day. what I find interesting about about some of these holidays that we stress in our culture and all that when it comes to religion is Ascension Day is never celebrated, talked about. What to me that gives a Christian hope when he ascended up into the clouds and that promise was made he's coming back. If you want to celebrate events, wouldn't that be one to be celebrated? It should be celebrated. But anyway, I know culture's fickle.
This may be getting a little far-fetched from the lesson, but do y'all know where the word Christmas comes from?
It's out of the Catholics, isn't it?
Yeah, Christ Mass. It's special.
Name. Yep. It's Christ Mass. The next part of the question is, how does verse 3 show that it should have been so translated?
Well, the time of unleavened bread was Passover.
Yeah, it points it out. This is the time. it just points it out there. These were the days of unleavened bread. That's how we know when it was. And how we know that it was Passover instead of the traditional American celebration of Easter. Question number 5 is, what was the church doing when Peter was in prison?
Praying.
I think that's significant. This is not the first time we have seen when somebody was in trouble that the church got together and prayed. And so there's proof as we go down further into this, if we believe the scriptures to be true, there is power in prayer.
I think it's significant that it says without ceasing.
Yeah, that means as long as they had opportunity. I almost wonder if there wasn't somebody going around the clock, if they did it in shifts.
It wasn't just two or three words, amen.
And everybody broke up and went home. No, this was something big. That's a good point about the without ceasing part of it. The next part of the question is, do you think the church was praying for Peter to be released or for strength to endure his trial? I thought that it's got to be both. Yeah. If the church was praying for his release and really believed their prayers would be answered, then how does one explain their great surprise when he came to them? Think.
I put sentence of it and the manner in which he was released.
Yeah. The suddenness of it is what I was thinking of it, you know, the quickness. Because this, you know, this seems to have played out in one day. Didn't drag on for weeks and weeks on end. I think the reason that we see the surprise there is because it was quick. And
also because it was in the middle of the night.
There you go. Also in the night. We wouldn't expect something like this to go on in the night. Or something like that. Usually think of a release as something in the morning. Or I do. Maybe I'm odd that way.
Something else that we the four soldiers, in fact, they knew how that they were kept in prison, people were kept in prison. And we understand from looking at history that those soldiers that said they would be put to death, that if a centurion, guard, whatever you want to refer to them as, if they were responsible for somebody, then they gave their life if that person escaped.
Yeah. So Whenever it was discovered that he wasn't there, I bet every rock was turned over, every desk was pushed away, everything was checked. I bet every cell was checked, every window was checked, everything was checked, because it was their life gone.
Remember the centurion from Cornelius, he was going to kill himself.
Yeah, he was going to kill himself, and he said, don't do it. The Philippian jailer, yeah, don't do it, because we're all here. Question number six says, name at least four different things that were miraculous in connection with Peter's release. Yep.
Anybody got any more?
The angel.
Light shining.
The light
in prison.
Right, the light in prison.
Angel raised him up and his chains fell.
Yep. There's your four right there. Four things. What was Peter's thinking at these things? Let me start over. What was Peter's thinking all the time these things were happening to him? Yeah, vision or dreaming. Yeah, because it has the appearance after he got outside, it's kind of like, what just happened? What just happened here, you know? And it kind of has that feeling to it. Question number eight says, name at least three things Peter recognized the Lord had done for him when he came to himself.
He had seen an angel deliver him from Herod and deliver him from the hand of the Jews.
Yep. Go ahead. What'd you say? I'm sorry. Oh, say the three answers again. Name at least three things Peter recognized the Lord had done for him when he came to himself. Well, first he realized that the angel came to him. Second, I'd say that the chains fell off of him. And thirdly, that he made it out of the prison. That he made it out of the prison. I would even add without incident. Back to verse 9, I want to say one more comment about verse 9. When asked what was Peter thinking all the time when the things were happening, he thought he saw the things happening to him. Notice that the things mentioned in verse 9, he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true. He questioned himself. What's going on? Is this right? Is this true? And then he thought he saw a vision. Think about it just for a moment. He's waking out of sleep, from a dead sleep. Get up and go. Come on, follow me. Follow me out of here. Chains fall off and all that. I could see how that you might think he's dreaming or seeing it. I don't know if he was laying down or leaned up against the wall, but remember, there's people in there with him. The soldiers.
Yeah, the soldiers too.
Soldiers are there.
Each side of it.
Yeah.
When I did some reading, the other two are supposed to be
watching. Right. Kind of like your gatekeeper, so to speak, and then the two on each side chained to him. So when you look at this and then he's walking out, I can understand why he would think, is what just happened? Is this right? Is it true? Did I see a vision? What's happened here? Yeah, he told him to put his garment on. Yeah, put your sandals on. No, they didn't. That's why this is a miracle.
Since you're the engineer, the fact that the position of those four guys is where that comes from, because it's divided off into four parts, and it has to do with engineering. I didn't understand what they were trying to point out, but they had it all.
I don't know. I'd have to study over that. I hadn't given that any thought.
You're the engineer, but that's the reason I said that. You would understand the dividing out, how that they actually divided it out, the position that four people were supposed to be.
No, I've not read anything about that. That's an interesting thing. The only thing I could think of is the reason you'd have two, one on each side tied to him, is in case one would sleep, the other one could feel or know. And the same thing with the guard at the gate, with the two guarding, well, I keep saying the gate, I'm assuming they were at the door, but in case one nods off, the other one is there, kind of keeping it going. Question number 9 is, to whose house did Peter go?
Mary's mother, John Mark.
Yep. He went to that place. What were those gatherings? What were those gathered there doing?
Praying.
What we said a minute ago, or alluded to with those people that were there praying, or the church praying, that they prayed continuously, seems to support that idea that we throwed out there by them being late at night. They're still gathered together and they're still praying for him. There have been times times in the past of where we should have been people that gathered and prayed just like they did, to keep something from happening on behalf of another brother or sister, for sickness or some other reason, for safety, for some trouble they had gotten themselves into, perhaps. That when I read this, amongst some of the other times of when the church gathered together and they had this level of dedication to prayer, and notice that every time you see this dedication to prayer in Scripture, God answers it somehow in a big way, not just a little, but a big way. So that tells me that he listens, and that whenever there's a bunch of us together, a bunch of people praying for something, that gets his attention in a different way. Now, for example, we go back and study the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. You know, we see the cycle. We see them fall away. We see God be displeased with them. He tries to bring them back, and they don't listen. And you have more and more ungodliness. And then they fall into oppression. Another nation takes over. You know, the one that we probably talk about the most is the Babylonian captivity. Where they were sore oppressed, and also the Egyptian captivity, or it turned into a captivity. It didn't start out that way. The thing that gets God's attention, that he knows that they're ready to come back to him, is they cry out to the Lord. They cry out, "Help us, help us." And I don't believe it's one or two that's doing this. I believe it's a multitude of the people, by the way the Scripture words it. They, and it usually turns it in terms like they, after it's talking about a group or the nation, cries out to the Lord. And then he sends a deliverer in to end the cycle and to bring them back to repentance, because they're ready to repent. God pays attention. We may not think so, and we may not happen in our time. This example I listed for the nation of Israel never took place in 5 or 10 years. It never took place in a year. It was usually 75, 80 years. One of the captivities, another captivity, was over 400 years. It's however long it takes for the people to come together and cry out to the Lord. Yeah, pay attention to what you get the group. I even venture to say the majority to cry out to the Lord, help us. Question number 10 is, who opened the door at Peter's knock? Rhoda, verse 13. What was her reaction? What I want to focus on in that verse 13 there, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came and hearkened named Rhoda, for she knew Peter's voice. She opened not the gate, for gladness ran in and told Peter stood before the gate. Now, based on what our discussion was a minute ago, the earlier question about surprise, I don't think it was surprise here. I don't think she was surprised in the fact she didn't believe what was happening. She was, because it points out that she was glad. Have you ever been so happy about something you stop what you're doing, you freeze, or you run and go tell something? Have you ever seen kids do this? Oh yeah, get so excited about something they just can't do nothing but shake, or they run off and go tell. They get so excited they run to go leave what they just got and go run tell somebody. That's what I envision happening here.
They get things out of order. Get excited and forget what they were doing and just start something else.
Yeah. And she was just so excited and happy about it, runs and tells them. And it says, what did Peter declare unto them? Yeah, he retold the story, told them what the Lord had done for him. Which James were they to tell, since James, the brother of John, was dead?
James,
the Lord's brother. And we remember there's more than one James talked about in Scripture, just like there's more than one Judas, more than one Peter, But we only, we tend to focus on the main characters, which we should, the main ones. And number 12 is why was there a great stir among the soldiers at daylight?
Well, two things. Peter was gone, and the guards would be executed if he escaped.
That's right. And notice it, verse 19, who is looking for Peter? Herod. Not just the soldiers, Herod. Now the boss is in. The boss is there. When Herod sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that what happened, question 13.
I took him to mean Herod was going to execute him, bring him before the people to be executed. And then when he wasn't there, he starts trying to figure out what happened.
He does. And then verse 19 there, and he commanded that they, I believe being the keepers, because that's the first part of the sentence, or in the middle of the sentence rather, should be put to death because they let the prisoner escape. This might be a good stopping point right here for us tonight, because then we get into what Herod's action ends up being. And plus, I want to share with you Josephus' account of this. I think you'll find it interesting. Any questions or comments as we close tonight?
You going to bring Josephus tonight or
next week?
Next week. So we have to be excited for a week.